Shalom to all. Today we're learning the very last two Mishnahs in Maseches Bava Basra, Perek Yod, Mishnah Zayin Ches, and today's Mishnahs are being learned Bischos Esther Basra Achol, Shishi Bezecher Fein Gerziva Gahagun, Bikar of Mamish. And the Mishnah tells us, Shnei Achim, we have two brothers, Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, one of them is poor, one of them is rich. V'niach Lohen Avin Merchatz u'Beis Abad, and their father died, and he left them either a bathhouse or a Beis Abad, which is an olive press, which is meant for pressing olives into oil. The question is, what do they do with it? So it depends. Asal Nischar, if when their father had made it to rent out, and that's what he did when he was alive, it was rented out, and he collected rent money with it. So aschar la'emtza, they continue doing this, they rent it out, and all that schar, all that rent money, is split 50-50 between rich brother and poor brother. However, asan la'atzman, if it was made for his own personal use, the father enjoyed bathing in this bathhouse, and he didn't rent it out, he didn't let others use it, or he just pressed his own olives into olive oil in this olive press and didn't give it out to others. So then, in this case, hareya asher aymer la'ani, the wealthy brother could tell the poor one, kachol chavadim virachtu merchatz, you buy servants, and they could use the merchatz, or kachel chazesim, buy yourself some olives, ubay vasem vesabad, and press them into olive oil in the olive press. What does that mean? So obviously the poor brother would rather it be rented out so that he can make some money. However, in this situation, he's at a disadvantage because since the father had never rented it out and it wasn't meant for that, it was just meant for personal use, the poor brother is only allowed to use it for his own use. Now the rich brother is happy about this because he not only has a bunch of family members, but he also has slaves and servants and butlers and whatnot that could all use the bathhouse, or he has money to buy olives and he could press them into olive oil, so he's happy with this. And that's why the Mishnah says that he tells his poor brother, look, you can't rent it out and get money from it. If you want, you could take money and buy yourself some slaves and they can use the merchatz. Obviously the poor brother doesn't have money for that. This is the rich brother kind of just poking fun at him, saying, tough luck, you really don't have much use of it. On to a totally different din, going back to shtaros, shnayim shayu b'yirachas, we have two people that live in the same city, shem echad Yosef ben Shimon, the name of one of them was Yosef ben Shimon, and guess what? V'shem achar Yosef ben Shimon, the other guy's name was also Yosef ben Shimon. One can't take out a shtar chayv against the other saying you owe me $100, because the other one could say, what are you talking about? You just paid me the $100 that you owed me and I gave you your shtar back. You can't now claim that I owe you $100. Furthermore, another person can't take a shtar chayv against them, because if a person comes to Yosef ben Shimon number one with a shtar saying you owe me $100, he'll say, oh, that's not me, that's the other Yosef ben Shimon. Furthermore, nimsal echad ben shtaroysav, let's say somebody in the city found a piece of paper among his shtaros that said, shtar shal Yosef ben Shimon parua, the shtar that Yosef ben Shimon owed me money, that's paid off. Shtar shnein paruin, the shtars that he has from both of them, that they both owed him money, they're both paid off, because we don't know which Yosef ben Shimon had paid their debt, so we can't collect it from either of them. Now the question is, ketzad yasu, what are they supposed to do when there's two Yosef ben Shimons in the same city? And the answer is, yishaleshu, they should write a third generation. In other words, they would write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov for one, because Yaakov is the grandfather of Yosef ben Shimon number one, and they would write Yosef ben Shimon ben David for Yosef ben Shimon number two, because that's his grandfather's name. If their grandfathers happen to have the same names, then they should write a simon, some sort of identifying feature. Yosef ben Shimon, the tall, the short, the big, the small, the dark, the light, so on and so forth. And if they both look exactly the same, then if one of them's a kayin, they should write kayin. And if both of them are kayhanim, or if they're both not kayhanim, and they both look the same, then they would write the fourth generation, meaning their great grandfathers, and it's highly unlikely that their great grandfathers have the same exact name. On to another din. Let's say before a person dies, he tells his son, shtar ben shirai se perua, one of the shtars that I have among all the documents that people owe me money, one of them is paid off. And I don't know which one it is. Shtars kulam peruin, we have to say that all of them are considered paid off, because if the son collects that shtar that really shouldn't be collected, that's no good for the father up in the olam ha'emes. Now let's say, nimtzal echad sham shnayim, one person has two shtars over there. The father was owed a whole bunch of money from many different people, and one person happened to have borrowed twice from this father. So agandal peruva, then we say misafek, the bigger loan is considered paid off and the smaller one is not. Moving on to another din, hamavas chaver al de arev, a fellow lends his friend money and there's an arev, there's a guarantor for the loan, lo yipar min arev, the lender is not allowed to collect directly from the guarantor. He has to first go to the borrower, and only if the borrower defaults and can't pay up, so then he could go to the arev. However, vim amar, if the lender had said, al menashe par mimisha erze, I'm lending this money on condition that I could collect it from whomever I want, so then yipar min arev, he's even allowed to go to the Arev to collect. Now, Rishim Gamaliel, where he tells us, if the loiva, the borrower, has property, he has money, in either situation, the lender can't go to the Arev, the guarantor, because the borrower has money. And Rishim Gamaliel also said something similar, if a man is a guarantor for a woman's ksuba, meaning when they were getting married, this person very kindly said, don't worry, if the husband can't pay up his ksuba, I'll cover it. And the husband's divorcing her, what do they have to do? Yadirena ana. The husband has to make a nether of ana that his wife is never allowed to have benefit from him anymore. Why is that? Shemiyasu kenunya on the chasim shalzeh v'yachzer zeshtai. Maybe this whole thing is just a trick in order to take nechasim away from this guy, and then he's going to remarry his wife. So let's say, for example, we have two friends, Beryl and Shmerel, and when Beryl gets married, Shmerel says, "Don't worry, if you can't pay your ksuba, I got it covered. I'm the arev, the guarantor." And one day, Beryl calls him up and says, "Look, Shmerel, I'm divorcing my wife, and I can't afford the ksuba." We have to suspect for the following: the Shmerel is going to pay up the ksuba, he's going to give it to the wife, and then Beryl's going to remarry her. Now they're much richer because they have a whole ksuba, and Shmerel wouldn't even be able to take that money back because it belongs to the woman, not the man, but he was covering for the man's loan, so he would be stuck. Therefore, in order to prevent this from happening, as the Mishnah said, if Beryl's divorcing his wife and he's not paying her the ksuba, he's relying on Shmerel, he has to make a nether of ana that she's never allowed to have benefit from him, which would basically mean that he's never allowed to get it remarried to her, and then we don't have this issue. And moving on to Mishnah Ches, the last Mishnah in the Masechta, the Mishnah tells us, Hamavis Chaver Bashtar, a person lends his friend money, and that's written down in a shtar, in a document. Gavim Nechasim Shubadim, that loan could be collected from Nechasim Shubadim. So let's say Reuven lends Shimon money on Sunday, and then Shimon sells one of his properties to Levi on Monday. When Reuven comes collecting his loan on Tuesday, if Shimon doesn't have any money, Reuven can take away those properties that were purchased by Levi. And that's only if the loan was written down in a shtar. That's because, since it was written down and Adim signed it, this loan has a koil. Everyone knows about it. The whole world is talking that Shimon borrowed money from Reuven. And that means that when Levi bought these properties from Shimon, he knows that they're meshubed to the loan, that they're on a lien to pay for the loan. And therefore, Reuven's allowed to take them away from him. However, al yedei Adim, if the loan was only witnessed by Adim, but it wasn't written and signed in a document, gavim nechasim bnei chayrin, so then the lender is only allowed to collect from bnei chayrin, which is basically properties that the loive, the lender, has, but not ones that he had sold after he borrowed. And that's because a loan that wasn't written down in a document, it was only witnessed by Adim, doesn't have this koil. People don't know about it. And that means that Levi, who had bought properties from Shimon after he borrowed money, couldn't have known that Shimon had this debt that he owes. And it wouldn't be fair if Reuven now takes his property away from Levi. Similarly, let's say Reuven comes to Bezin with a ksav yad, with a piece of paper written by Shimon, or it could be it was written by somebody else, but it was signed by Shimon, that says, "I owe Reuven money." Also, government chasim nechayrin, this is only allowed to be collected from chasim nechayrin, not from a shubadim. Another din, going back to discussing an arev, a guarantor, arev ayatilachachitim shtarais, if we have an arev whose name was written that he was the guarantor, but was only written on the shtar after the edim had signed, government chasim nechayrin, so then when the lender collects from the arev, from the guarantor, he can only collect from chasim nechayrin. And myself, of Rabbi Shmuel, a story like this came to Rabbi Shmuel of Amar, and he said, government chasim nechayrin, when the lender collects from the arev, from the guarantor, he can only collect from chasim nechayrin. However, Amar le Benanas, Benanas told him, "I disagree with you completely. This Arev can't be collected from at all, not from his Meshubadim or from his Mnei Chayrin." Amr Loi, so Rishmal asked Benanas, "Lama, why is that?" So Amr Loi, Benanas responded to him, "Let's say a guy is choking somebody else in the marketplace. You're walking down the street and you see a guy being shaken down for his lunch money. He's being beaten up and the attacker says, 'Give me my money that you owe me.' And his friend finds him. But Amr Loi, he says, 'Hanach Loi, leave him alone. Don't beat him up. Don't worry, I'll pay the loan.' Pater, of course that guy's pater. Shloi al menasei hilvo, because the lender, when he gave the money to the borrower, whom he's beating up right now, he didn't lend it because he trusted this new guy to come and pay it. This new guy just showed up on the scene right now and is only saying that he's going to pay the loan because he felt bad for this poor borrower who's getting beaten up. And it's the same thing when you have an arev whose name is written on the document after the signatures of the Edim, that doesn't show that he's really being Meshabed himself, that he's confirming he's going to pay the loan. El, or rather, says Benanas, Ezu Arev Shu Chayev, what's the type of Arev, a guarantor, who's Chayev to pay? If he tells the lender at the time of the loan, Halvei Uvani Naisen Lach, you lend him, and I'm going to pay you if something happens, Chayev, so then he's Chayev. Shekein Al Menasei Elvo, because the only reason why the money was lent is due to the fact that the lender trusted this Arev, then the Arev is Chayev. And Rabbi Shmuel was so impressed with what Benanas said, he commented as follows. Amar Rabbi Shmuel said, if a person wants to become wise, yasek b'dinei mamonos, he should involve himself and he should learn all about dinei mamonos, all about monetary halachas. Because there's no greater limud than them to make a person wise. Because they're like a flowing spring that just keeps on flowing more and more. And if a person wants to learn dinei mamonos, yisham shas Shimon ben Anas, he should serve, meaning he should learn from Shimon ben Anas, who's the wisest of all. Now it's interesting to note that even though Rabbi Shmuel praised Benanas, we actually do not paskin like him, we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel. With this, we finish the entire Maseches Bava Basra. Mazel are finishing this Masechet together, and just like we zecha finished Bava Basra together, we should be zecha to finish all of Shas Mishnayos together. We're of course going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow beginning the brand new Masechta, Maseches Sanhedrin. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.